There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Getting spicy, I like it. Branham is being a real today. Branham is such a baby. I wasn't the one yelling. Blanker's getting as red as the brick behind him. Did you get red there, Blanker?
I don't know if I got red, but I don't care if I raise my voice either.
No, I'm not. I don't care that you raise your voice either. I don't know if I was the baby there. I love the back and forth between Blankers and Branham Radio Gold. Best part about us, it's authentic. It's real. Comes from the loins.
There's no name calling, which is good.
Yeah, you're right. We didn't call each other names.
I mean,
proud
the
of
ones,
us.
The ones that make the internet gold are the ones that end up with...
Call each other names?
Just do your job. Come or whatever you said.
Oh, yeah. That was one of the good ones.
Oh, that was an all-timer.
I remember Payne and Meltzer, too. Unbearable. That one was funny.
That was classic.
Unbearable.
That yeah, I don't remember what provoked
I think it was Meltzer. Pretty minor.
Yeah, from what I remember, like, Seth wasn't doing anything, like, anything other than his normal shtick, and Meltzer just exploded and screamed, "You're unbearable," and left the studio.
It was so funny. Like, it really wasn't a lot. Like,
yeah,
it really wasn't.
It was weird.
Like, it was, to me, it was just like the straw that, like, you could tell it was kind of festering.
So. It had been building.
Yeah, it was building. And then I remember Clint yelled at me one day. He, like, stood up and towered over me and got mad at me.
What, in the studio?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Studio or, like, pre-show?
No, during the show.
I don't remember that.
It was about the Astros and the trash can. He was trying to say that the trash can stuff was more severe than the PED usage in baseball.
Oh.
And I was like, "You're an idiot." Like, no. Like, that's – I didn't say an idiot because I don't like the name call. But he was acting like an idiot. And I was like, "No, this is why you're wrong." Boom, 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 boom. And he got really mad. And he stood up and he was the Baytown baddie that day. He cussed and – yeah.
Who was – Greg Cook, when he was at the Highway to Hell, Greg Cook hosted with a guy – and his name escapes me now. And it wasn't
Cook was at 6'10"?
Yeah, it wasn't Brad Davis. It was – he had – brown curly hair. He did their updates and stuff for a while too, but they used to host a show, and Greg actually stood up in the studio, went nuts, and then said, "We're going down to the parking lot next segment."
Really?
And everyone was like, "Oh my goodness!"
I haven't seen that. I've seen people storm out and leave the show. I mean, Dante Hall was the famous one.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's right. He walked out, and never came back. Right?
Yeah,
came back.
Ted Johnson did that to us too, but he came back then. I think it was about a week when he came back. But he eventually came back. But, yeah, Dante Hall never returned.
Who made Ted mad?
I think it was Rich that day.
Really?
Yeah, it was, like, halfway through the show. He just, like, because I could see the parking lot from our studio, because it was when we were on the other side before we moved the studio to the other side of the hall. And I looked down. I was like, yep, there's Ted going to his car. He's really gone. And he
funny.
Came back about a week later.
Rich Lord and Josh Innes had epic battles every day.
Oh, they did.
The Frank Caliendo, if you never heard that
one was bad. That is a good one.
I bet Joel was the kid that couldn't play the dozens back in the day because he get mad and want to fight because he couldn't go back and forth with
dozens?
Other kids.
What's the
I don't know what the dozens are. Maybe he typoed there. I don't know what the dozens are, though. And you wonder why we have to stand up and protect Joel. Jeremy, you're a bully. Blankers does not need protection from me.
First of all, I don't need protection from anybody. Let's just be clear about that.
Blankers is jacked. Like, what do you mean? He needs help. He needs
I work out.
That's ridiculous. 19-21, we had great shots to win. Hard to trade away players when you have those kind of teams. No doubt. I'm not arguing that. You're 100% right. But if you want to have this long period of sustained success, that is a trade-off you have to make. It depends on what your goal is. If your goal is to have these peaks and to have your best chance of winning in those peaks, okay, then they handled it right. if you want to try to extract that, and yes, you're going to lessen your peaks, but you're going to have a longer period, then you have to do that sort of stuff. So that's why you have to make that decision. What are your goals? And you have to be consistent with that plan. And I think it's a good argument on which side would you rather have. And I think that's what led to our fight, is that Joel, I think, I don't want to speak for you, Joel, but it sounds like you rather have the peaks, which again, it's tomato, tomato, where I'm more okay, especially in baseball, because I think baseball playoffs are a crapshoot, to extract that and to stretch out that period of winning.
I think that the best way for me to look at it from my perspective is there are times, and I think a lot of times during this run, where whether you actually saw it through to fruition or not, you were a front runner and you were a favorite. You were stacked to win, to compete for a World Series. Uh-huh. Or you can take the Rays model, which is they were savvy as hell. They were smart and they were talent evaluators, to where they went to the as far as they felt like their threshold was before they knew they were going to lose a guy. And then they just did what you said. And regardless of how far they thought they could go in a given year, it was time. They got rid of them. They reloaded with picks, and they knew that they might have a lower lull, but they were going to be back sooner rather than later in the long term because they were continuing to restock the farm system. I think that smaller market teams have a tendency to do that more frequently, and it's difficult for fans to accept that sometimes, yes, unless you're the big three, that you got to do it to some level.
It is very unpopular, yes, for sure. Now, what the Rays couldn't do that a bigger market team can do is that they can fill the gaps with free agents. Mm-hmm. Like, the Rays aren't going to go out and sign a $25 million. Like, they're not going to go out and sign Christian Walker, you know, whereas a bigger market team can. Like, we got rid of our first baseman, but there's not a first baseman that's ready to take over. Okay, let's go sign a first baseman for 3 years and fill the gap with an above-average player. Look, there's a reason the Dodgers hired Friedman away from Tampa Bay. Like, the Brewers have kind of done the same thing, too. And, yes, the Brewers never won a World Series or recently and have been to a World Series recently. They're in the playoffs year in, year out with the same exact thing.
And that's my point, too. Like, the difference being, too, you could be a powerhouse with a chance to be a favorite to win the World Series. Or, like you said, you can get in, and one of those years, everything might fall right and you might get there or have a chance to win one, as opposed to like hanging on to this perennial powerhouse tag while you're having success.
See, I think that if you're really good at building a ball club, though, and like you can find the free agents that can really complete your team, I don't think that it's a one every 20-year deal. I think it can be almost every single season deal. You have to spend the money, but you're not spending the money on your own players. You're spending your money on the bridges that are going to elevate your team, which is something Milwaukee never did, Tampa Bay didn't do. So if you add the money element, I think that's what lifts you. Texter, not trading my guys who got us to where we want to go every year for unknown with good prospects. Blanks 1, BMAC 1, Brennan 0. You can't guarantee, but whenever you're making these moves, you can't guarantee how far you're going to go. I guess we do have the luxury of, like, hindsight 2020. Todd says Game 7 is a game away. No way you get that close without those guys. I don't know. Like, baseball is not a one-guy sport. Look at Kyle Tucker in the postseason. Like, are you worse off in the playoffs because of what Kyle Tucker's gone? Like, Tucker was terrible in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So, like, would you have been better off or worse off?
I mean, look, if you look at it, you know, in retrospect, because you got absolutely nothing from him, and you knew he was gone, yeah, then for sure it's an easy answer right now to say, yeah, in retrospect, yeah, they should have traded him at the deadline last year because he was nothing for you. But I think from their thinking was a healthy Kyle Tucker in the middle of that lineup with Yordan and everything they got makes them.
It should have, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely should have. Now, I think there's hypocrisy in play for one person to say, I hate that idea, that's the stupidest idea in the world, but then also currently like the Kyle Tucker trade. To me, that's very hypocritical. I'm not saying that you're doing that, but people that are. Like, if you're saying, well, the Astros can never do that sort of thing, but then you're also celebrating the Kyle Tucker trade today, like, oh, what a great job getting Isak and Wesneski and Cam Smith. He did phenomenal. You can't dislike option A and then like option B. Because option A and option B are the same thing.
Look, in the offseason, I thought they should explore trades for both Fromber and Tucker. I was surprised that they made the move that they did with Tucker, but I was happy they did it because I thought there was no chance, nor did I think that they should pay Kyle Tucker. But, you know, there were other – I think as you go back in time And because now they have two World Series under their belt too, that I think that it kind of let them ease up a little bit too, or take at least a deep breath to go, hey, we did a lot during this run. Because the last thing you want to do too is look back at it and go, man, over an 8-10 year span, we won a whole lot of, you know, got to a whole lot of league championship series, but we only got one ring. And then in the Astros case, the 17 ring, a lot of people put that asterisk next to it to where it, I think that made a difference too in the fact that, and they were still trying to get there to kind of create the dynasty effect one more time. And that kind of pushed them as well. But at a certain point, I think they realized, and maybe Dana helped do that because he wasn't a part of a lot of that other stuff, to come in and go, yeah, at a certain point, guys, if we want to get back here again sooner rather than later, we got to start doing some things that are a little bit more, you know, business savvy.
Yeah. I wish we could go back and relive history and trade Correa a year early, trade Bregman a year early, trade Springer a year early, because I don't think that the Astros' golden era resume would look any different. And I feel like the Astros today would be in a much better spot, because you have players, whereas you don't have Correa, you don't have Bregman, you don't have Springer.
The other curious part of that, though, Jeremy, is the fact that when you look at it, you also, and I don't want to say you lucked out, but when you finally did watch Correa walk out the door, you ended up Jeremy Peña catching lightning in a bottle and being in year one way more than anybody could have expected or anticipated.
I mean, he wasn't that good as a rookie. He had a great playoff.
Well, the playoff,
I'll concede that.
I'm basically referring to the playoffs.
But, I mean, like, when Springer – I mean, that's part of having a minor league system, though. Like, that's part of having those players that are ready to go, and you don't get that unless you're trading those players for that. So, again, that's the trade-off. Like, what are you – what is the goal? What is the purpose? Is the purpose to have a few years that are peak years in a 10-year stretch, or do you want to have a 25-year stretch, maybe have not as big a peak, but maybe you win just as much – over a greater length of time? Like, it's a trade-off that you have to make. And I think that Dana Brown is doing the latter, where the Astros prior to that were doing the former. I hope it's not too late. I hope that it's not too late. Keith said both of y'all's arguments can be correct. It's all hypothetical, IMO. You're right. And that's the margin that we're arguing the margin for sure. All right, 7-1, go ahead.
I was going to say, don't you think, too, though, that because you had the success of the former, it's a little easier to go and now do the latter, right? Because you did win two, because you did, on top of just making it to the ALCSs and making it to four World Series, because you won two, it's easier to kind of exhale and go, okay, let's reset so that we can get back there quicker.
I don't know. It might be more difficult. Like, again, like, this depends on the personalities in the room, because now it's, we've had that and we must keep that. I mean, Jim Crane is famously, you know, the famous quote, we're always going to have the window open while we're here. So, like, if he had the drug, maybe he's always chasing the drug. So, like, it kind of depends. Because I see where you're coming from. I think it depends on the personality.
It does. And I think it also, it's to some degree too, it's also the state of baseball too, right? Like, because, you know, with the finances the way they are now, and with the way you look at it, I look at the Braves and go, I think if the Braves, I was thinking back then, did they let anybody walk? Was there any situations where they ever had to go through this when they were making that run of seven straight National League Championship Series and they only won one, to look back and go, would they have been able to do anything differently or spend more money and maintain more?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't remember all that to that level, but I'm just saying, if they won a couple, maybe, you know, I don't know that you let certain guys walk out the door, but you look at it nowadays and it's like, well, that's a tougher decision. And if you haven't won one yet, I mean, that's what you think about from a football perspective.
Yeah, it would be easier for me. I would be more willing to do what I'm talking about if I had one.
If you had at least one, right. Yeah.
I'm with you on that. But again, I think it depends on the person, because you might have a person, I want to win every year. Don't you ever do that. And then it puts you in a really bad spot. So, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know Crane's personality to that.
And the extra caveat on that one is, and the one that you won in 17, because it was tainted in a lot of people's minds, I think that affected them a little bit more than any other team that wouldn't have to have dealt with that as well.
Yeah. Tyler and Conroe saying Peña wasn't good as a rookie but had a good playoffs is talking out of both sides of your mouth. His rookie regular season struggles are irrelevant since they won a World Series. He's a key part of that. I disagree. To me, it's very, very different. Like, do we like Peña's rookie year in totality? Of course we do, because he won the LCS MVP, won the World Series MVP. The Astros won a World Series. That's fantastic. But you also can't ignore that his regular season was pretty meh. Like, I don't know. Like, disagree with that point from Tyler. The sanctions the Astros got for the cheating scandal is the real is the reason number one why we are where we are. Add that with signing key free agents and losing draft picks. That's what it is. Yeah, it didn't help. It didn't help that the ramifications and the penalties that came from the sign stealing scandal that hurt as well.
It did, but I mean. Would they lose? Was it 2 years of first and first?
Yeah, one turned out to be the COVID year, too, which kind of, I don't know if that helped or hurt.
Yeah, because
I feel like it hurt because there was only five rounds in that draft.
I'm just thinking, like, so was it first and second round? So
I think four
they lost
total
their players.
First and second, yeah.
Do you anticipate that all four of those would have been, you know, key prospect contributors? And again, you got to hit on all of them.
I mean, if you just go what the Astros have drafted the last 2 years, I mean, you're losing Bryce Matthews, Walker Yannick, and then whoever their second-round picks were those years. So, I mean, that – and, look, those guys might never pan out, but you'd rather have those guys than not have them.
Sure.
So, yeah, but, I mean, pretty impactful. Like, to me, we don't know how impactful it'll be.
That's the thing, yeah, because you look at it and how many times we talk about, well, you got the top three of the top four prospects, or you gave them up, regardless of which, when you tried to trade for a big-time player. And from an Astros perspective, when you look at what they gave up when they made the Verlander trade, when they made some of the other trades that they made, you gave up what a lot of people thought, evaluation-wise, were going to be really good Major League Baseball players to borderline all-star type players. And how many of them panned out?
Yeah, I believe in the volume game. Like, I believe in having as much of those good young players as possible, and then you pull from that. Because, I mean, they're cheap labor. Like, you're getting 6 years of a player who's not making very much money. This past 2024 draft, they drafted Walker Yannick in round one. They didn't have a second-round pick. They lost that one because they signed a free agent. And then 2 years ago, they drafted Bryce Matthews and the Alonzo Treadwell. Jake Bloss was a third-rounder that year.
That's right.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's better to have those guys in the system than not. Now, how you draft, and then maybe you use those players in a trade, who knows?
That's like the other thing. That's the other caveat was you don't necessarily have to just say, hey, this guy's got to develop in your system to be a potential Astro someday. You could end up using them as a piece to get something else.
Agree with Blank. Winning made these easier to take the losses and rebuild. See, I don't think they're rebuilding. I think they're trying to reload. Do you guys think it's ever wise to pay free agents top of market deals like Vlad, for example?
I think I've been cringeworthy of them because the return on the investment at the end of those deals, especially with the amount of years you're talking about, if you're getting into that threshold of 7, 8, 9 years, 10 years and more, and in Vladdy's case, I think it was more like 13 or 14. I mean, you have to be realistic and say, yeah, you're making a huge commitment, and it's going to be for now, because at the back end of that contract, it's going to be a suicide watch because of how that contract's probably going to kill you, and their abilities are not going to give you a return on investment.
I'm not a fan of doing it either. Had too many one-and-done series in late 90s and early 2000s. Winning is way better in the moment. Would rather have a team that can win it all than a team that just goes one round every year. See, my argument would be in baseball, it's hard to tell the difference. Like the Astros, when they lost in the first round in 98 and they had Randy Johnson, was that team not capable of winning the World Series?
Oh,
no, they just got Sterling Hitchcock and Kevin Brown.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the randomness of the baseball playoffs. Like, baseball playoffs are a crapshoot. The best team often, I mean, I don't know how often, but the best team does not win the World Series title far more often than the NBA or the NFL.
No, I was going to say, because in the NFL, this is a totally different conversation. But at the same time, to your point, to back that up, think about how many times in the regular season I called the Dodgers the Utah Jazz. They had phenomenal regular seasons. They were like the best team in the National League. Everybody looked at them as perennial World Series powerhouse. And how many times did they win the World Series? They won it in the COVID year, and then they won it last year. So you look at it, you go, man, up through there, they probably should have been there if you just want to believe in going with the favorites almost every year.
Yeah, it's really hard to win. It's really hard to win. That's why I want to have as many shots at it versus – maybe better shots at it, but less than. World Series or bust as a texter. If you didn't win the World Series, then you should have moved these guys before they walked. I feel like Branham's argument is if you're looking back after the fact. Look, I might be wrong in this argument, and I do think it's opinion, like Keith said, but this has always been my philosophy. Like, this isn't something I'm saying in hindsight. And I'll concede that I could be completely wrong here, but this isn't because of the Astros' success. This is not hindsight 2020. Textures, I haven't felt such tension since the Jim Rome, Chris Everett interview. Well, you should listen to the Killer Bees more.
We're not dumping tables. We're not making threats.
We'll have a little tension, but...
tension's different than a threat and dumping a table on a guy.
One of my favorite things. Don't you ever call me Chris again. Okay, Chris. You'll have to take a station break.
it's better than, like I said, do the show, B-word.
I don't know. That was pretty good. Lamont says it was Greg Cook and Brian Straw.
Brian Straw. That's it. Thank you, Lamont. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. One of the most epic on-air fights was Lance versus Wexler and Matt. Oh, yeah. What was that show called with Lance and Adam and
The Big Show.
Matt, The Big Show. They got into a fight over LeBron James being a B. I don't remember that.
I never heard Lance and Wex. I heard about Lance and Clanton.
I don't think I ever listened to The Big Show.
No, I just heard about the fights.
Lance and Clanton got into a fight?
Oh, they butted heads a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. He says Josh Innes versus Daryl Morey was crazy. That was a crazy
one.
Herman and Lopez was a crazy one.
Well, even remember at the Super Bowl, Seth and Josh?
Oh, yeah.
That was and McClain was trying to look like an innocent bystander. That was very uncomfortable.
He got 790 kicked out.
That's right. They got sent home.
The rest of 790 versus Josh.
On-air fights are great.
Yeah.
They're awesome. Lamont said Josh Innes versus Rich Lord was over the McRib sandwich. Being racist. What?
Of course it was. I mean,
I don't remember that at all.
What is that about?
That was oil and water. Josh really wanted to go at him every day.
Hey, Lamont, if you had that audio, send it my way. I want to hear all of those. I remember Innes Morey. I don't need that. I don't remember Cook Brian Straw.
If you had that audio, he wanted to go downstairs.
I want to hear that. I want to hear the Lance one too. If you have that, Lamont, I want to hear all of these. If you have the audio, I know Lamont collects some of these audios. I wonder if he has them on tape somewhere. Let me know, Lamont. I want to hear all those. All right, 713-780-ESPN. I think we've punched ourselves out of Astro Talk. We'll get back to it a little bit later. Rockets back in the playoffs for the first time since 2020. Has you feeling what? 713-780-3776. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
97.5.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Joel and I got into a little bit of a heated conversation earlier. No big deal. It's fine. We're okay. Uncle Barney was worried about me. Thank you, Uncle Barney. He said, do you want to know what he said?
Sure.
He said, glad you're not sitting within swinging range of Joel. That's why I moved that knife yesterday.
Yeah, it's still there. Someone removed your napkin, but the knife is still there.
Oh, I took the napkin away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Brian, you missed it. There was a steak knife behind Blankers yesterday.
I mean, I can see it right now. It's on the windowsill here.
That's the one that's been there back on the table for a long time.
Yeah, it's been in the studio for months. I don't know whose it was.
But I kept my prints off of it, though. I used a napkin
to
move it.
That's good. You wiped it down? Okay.
I mean, I just had a napkin over my hand when I moved it.
Okay, it's still smart that you've seen a crime show or two. Don't put your fingerprints on it.
There's zero DNA on that knife. If anybody ever uses that knife to murder or commit a crime, not me. Not
Can
me.
I
My prints are not
you
on
know
it.
Where all the DNA is, it's under this console.
Yeah, it's gross.
At this where I sit because of how many bloody napkins Lance has left and other remnants of other things.
It's gross.
In this seat or underneath this desk.
The board of the producer studio, I think, has a lot of DNA on it as well.
It's
pretty gross looking.
There's a million boba straws underneath the desk inside the studio.
Yeah,
it's
and they're
so
colorful.
Weird. Yeah, they are. They are. More color than a pride parade, I would say.
Mm.
There's a lot of color on those boba straws, like every single color you can imagine. So what are your best sports radio fights? Because the texters are texting it in, and we do what the texters tell us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever made Nick Wright mad always made my day. Did he get mad a lot, Nick Wright, in Houston?
You know what he was? He was an instigator that would try and be the hero that no one needed, like stepping in when – like Josh and I had one time, and it wasn't really a big deal, but it was – we both kind of traded barbs a few times.
Innes?
Yeah. And all of a sudden – Nick decided to throw himself right in the middle of it and basically was like mentioning me on the air. We had never met at the time. And he was like mentioning me and what, you know, what should happen. And I called him up and I was like, hey, why don't you do me a favor and leave my name out of your mouth, at least until we meet. And right now, based on you trying to be the hero that no one needs, we don't need to meet. And he's like, well, we should have lunch. I go, we're beyond that.
Yeah, that's his move. You're right. He does try to interject. He tried to do that with Lopez and Herman. He was like, Tom,
that's
can we go to lunch?
Was. Tom Herman, yes.
Yeah. He goes, can we go to lunch? And Herman goes, absolutely not. It was so funny.
I knew he had the lunch card with someone at U of H.
Yeah, he interjected himself in the Lopez-Herman fight. What did you and Ennis get into it about?
It was what it was always about with Josh. It was about, you know, the Rockets, like, being like, you know, Gestapo and mafia, like we wouldn't let him say things, or, you know, or that we, you know, we would say that.
So this is the Rockets days.
Yeah, it was probably a spinoff of an interaction with Tad or Daryl when he was always going at them.
Okay.
I mean, Tad had that reputation.
Oh, God. Absolutely. And I had to be and I can't tell you how many times Tad would call me into his office and go, hey, I don't want anybody to know it's me, but I'm going to need you to talk to this guy, this guy, this guy, and then tell this guy that if he says one more thing, we're taking away his press pass. But I don't want him to know it's me. Okay, Todd, you're right, because everybody thinks it's me when I come down on them.
That's pretty funny. Did you ever get an on-air fight, Brian?
Not that I can think of.
Soft.
No, I can't think of one off the top of my head.
You're soft until you get into an on-air fight.
I guess I just don't take it that seriously.
I like to pick fights with the biggest and baddest. That way they know I'm not no punk.
Was this prison? You're going to walk in the first day and punch the biggest
guy
on the
block?
That's
why I pick fights with blankers. Oh. I pick fights with the Baytown baddie. I pick fights with the biggest guys because I ain't no punk.
AJ and I got into one.
I remember that one.
Oh, that was pretty big.
Did y'all get into it on air?
It was basically across air. Like because they did the show after us, and he waited, and I went into the producer's room and grabbed the microphone and was screaming back and forth at him.
Oh.
And then we eventually squashed it, like, on private message. Because I called him out and I said, he was trying to put it all on Twitter. And I was like, you know what, man? If you want to do this, do it man-to-man, one-on-one. But I'm not going to do this just so all the blitzers can come at me. And then we finally squashed it. Like,
why did y'all hate each other?
He didn't like that I came from the Rockets, and he thought, you know, you had to have this, you know, pay your dues and radio along the way, and that was more Fortune 500-y. And
I saw him in San Antonio.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, he was up there. I talked to him for a little bit.
He was posting a lot that he was covering the games, or he was at the games.
Yeah, I talked to him for a little bit. I was like, hey, how you doing? And we chatted for a couple seconds, not that long. But, yeah, it was good to see him. The late hits fight was the best, says a texter. That was with Braddock and Creighton. That one was pretty dang good.
The one-liners alone is what's going to let that one live towards the top of the list.
Ennis was one of the worst mistakes in Houston sports radio, says a texter. I didn't hate Ennis. I thought he was kind of entertaining.
Look, I think he's extremely talented on the air. I think he has a lot of talent.
That's what everybody says, though. I think he's talented. But it's always like, but.
But he does things that set himself up for what he eventually gets. Like, you can't go into your program director's office every day and then basically get to the point where you feel like you can tell them off and basically you can control them and do all those things and then not expect that guy's not going to really be in your corner anymore.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, he was entertaining. I'll say that. Soriano, we need a fight on the bullpen this weekend. There you go, Brian. Pick a fight on the bullpen this weekend.
You want me to pick a fight with Mapes?
You and Mapes. Go at it.
I don't know if anyone at the station could pick a fight with Mapes.
That's true.
I think
That's
Mapes would be the hardest to instigate into a fight. So
Roaring Kitty just doesn't get into it.
Yeah.
Like, but he's got the headband if he ever just wants to go completely off the walls on you.
Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Brian, you're in the high. What's up, Brian?
Hey, how's it going? I remember – y'all have mentioned this already and Charlie Polillo and somebody one night, and they almost actually got into an actual fist fight.
What? Who did Charlie get into a fist fight with? The biggest fight's Brian's phone with his cell service. That is atrocious.
My God, with the outside
in, nominee.
Roll just the windows in. Up or something. What do we got going?
Just text who Polillo fought.
Never get in a fight with anybody. He might have antagonized someone with facts and an overabundance of statistics, but I don't think there's any way that Charlie would ever fight anybody.
Did Polillo go in spikes high to somebody's knee in the pickup softball games he would have on Saturdays?
Oh, bro.
Is that what engaged in a fight?
Talk about it. He lives for that. Like, he had the videos.
Yeah, there's no way that Polillo got into a fight. I just don't believe that.
He would never. That's not that's totally ethically and otherwise. He would never get in a fight. Like I said, he browbeat someone with stats to make his point, but they might have gotten mad at him, but he wasn't going to fight.
Donna says that AJ would ruffle your feathers on a daily basis.
Texter, yeah. Oh, and Barry. Yeah.
Texter would say AJ would have rolled blankers.
Okay. AJ used to fight MMA, and he's an ex-military guy. Okay, if that's the corner you want to sit in, you know, get your towel and your water bucket.
Who's going to be your cut guy?
Nick Sciarra.
Me and David Dalotti, when I went to his house studio and he never helped me out in radio, dang, sour grapes there with David Dalotti.
Who was that?
David Dalotti would do updates on ESPN 975.
No, but who went to his house?
Some Texter.
Oh.
I don't know who it was.
I'll tell you, Jeff, the one that never made it on air, and I thought it would, was the day that Barry and I and Nick had a knockdown dragout in the studio down the hall here.
For real? What'd y'all get in a fight about?
Oh, my God. It was like it was boiling over because they put us all together and we had never met each other before. And it was like there was constant tension. And I think it was when AJ was going to be named program director. And they knew and they didn't want to tell me because AJ and I had the past. And then once they did, and then I was like, how could you not tell me this? And then Fred, who was everybody's confidant, Fred was like, hey, don't worry about this. It's going to be fine. And AJ likes you and blah, 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 blah. And I brought it back up, and Barry and Nick thought that I had thrown them under the bus and told them that they told me. And so they pressed the wrong button. And I swear to God, they had all that soundproof foam in there. And Esme could hear us. And swore that someone was being murdered in the small studio. And we had 2 minutes to go on the air. And they finally go, you guys got to do a show. We went in. Before that red light went on, I was so nervous that I had no idea where that show was going to go. And no one on air could ever tell. We walked out of there and I go, if we could do a show today, we could do a show any day. Because there was no way I thought we were going to do it.
After hearing all this, I think I'm your favorite.
Not even close.
I don't know, man, after hearing all this.
That was a brutal, brutal day.
Charlie almost got into a fight with Zerline when they were co-hosts. B. Hannon says Palillo and Barry Warner? No way.
Well, Nick and Barry Warner had a couple.
Let's go back out to the HRP listener line. Philip, you're in the Hive. What's up, Philip?
Hey, guys. Just quick take on Josh Ennis, a name I had not heard in a while. I didn't mind him if my goal was I wanted pop culture, but my issue with him was just, you know, I'm listening to sports radio. If you want to do the KRBE morning show, that's fine. You know, that he was perfect for that. But, you know, you listen to sports radio, you want to hear sports. He loved to talk Hollywood. So the other thing I'll leave with you real quick on that, too, is if you ever have the Blu-ray on for the 2017 Astros box set, uh-huh, for the documentary that they did, the official MLB one, they do use a soundbite of Josh Ennis in that Blu-ray, and it makes me cringe every time. Wow. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
I thought he was going to go to the Jeff Blum, what's it, Alex Cora beef. Jeremy, are you there? Hello? Evidently not. Brian, did we lose Jeremy?
He's still moving around on camera. I think he's adjusting something. I'm not sure exactly what happened. I see him
or not.
Yeah, I see him moving around. Okay, he says, okay.
Oh, I'm back.
Oh,
there
he's
I'm back.
There we go.
I don't know what happened here. Rice didn't pay their bills. What did he say about the box set?
He said that Ennis has a quote on there, and every time he hears it, it makes him cringe. And I thought he was going to go to the whole on the bus, that one story where Blummer and or where Alex Cora went at Blummer.
I have that box set, but I haven't opened it. I've never watched it. Somebody gave it to me for Christmas. I've never opened it. It's probably better to not open it, right?
Yeah, if you want to. Yeah, I would think that people have value to it as it gets older.
What are your favorite on-air fights? 713-780-ESPN. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I'm a bad girl. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a bad girl. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Back on the Bees, as we're just about 2 hours into the show, and friendly fire has developed into quite a conversation here as we were talking about some of the best on-air beefs that we've had in the Houston area. Jeremy joining
us. Did you lose me again?
Yeah.
This Rice Internet, I tell you. You think they would have the finest in Houston on this thing? You think the sophistication here would be on a different level?
I do remember, by the way, Jeremy, the one that I couldn't believe I forgot this, but Fred, RIP Fred the Falcon, Fred Fowler. Fred, we know, sometimes had a tendency to consume some beverages, sometimes just kind of get a little off the rails. One night in particular, again, Nick and I doing the show leading into the Blitz, and we were talking about Chris Paul, and there was something about Chris Paul where we were like, you know what, he's having kind of a down year, but he's still good enough. And then we find out, and Nick heard evidently that Fred said, Joel and Nick both said that Chris Paul sucks, and just went on and on and on and on. And Nick called me at home that night, and he goes, hey, just so you know, I'm pulling all our audio. I am pulling his audio, and I am going nuclear on Fred tomorrow. And I was like, okay. And then he played me what I said. Well, first of all, Fred's extremely wrong. I'll definitely go in on that. I'll back up what I said. He's like, okay, let's go. We were on remote, and Nick went, I mean, he went as close to pushing the line as he could possibly go. Red in the face, screaming, yelling, spitting, just like basically just had enough and was calling out anything that Fred had ever done. And Fred showed up early to do their show.
Oh.
And we were well beyond it. We were, you know, the final hour of the show, and we were on to talking about other sports things. And when Fred walked in, Nick was like, coming up after the break, we're going to refresh everyone's memory on how wrong Fred was. And I was like, oh, God. And then after we were done, Nick had to produce the Blitz. And you know AJ. AJ was like, hey, Nick, seems like you had a lot to say. Maybe Fred wants to respond. And Nick just flipped his own mic on and was like, yeah, let's go. They both got called in the next day. Nick was relentless.
That was vindictive stuff there.
Oh, it was messy.
Man. I know that guy who just called only wants to hear sports, but I enjoy some different segments every now and then. You guys do a great job of mixing it up. Fred and AJ used to do stuff like Gym of the Day. Yeah, that was they were a great show. Palillo the Pillow never fought anyone but a stat sheet, says Jasper. Dang, Palillo the Pillow. That's not a great nickname.
Charlie was definitely not a fighter, but Charlie could fight his side of an argument and back it up a million different ways.
Oh, no doubt. Corey brought up the Nick and Fred. I guess that was cross show, but that one got pretty heated. Coward D versus Jeremy Branham. That one's one of my favorites. I do like that one. Sean Salisbury absolutely went in on someone and straight up called him a B on air. It was about how much quarterbacks are protected nowadays, right when they started really protecting quarterbacks. Can't remember the co-host. It was 5-plus years ago, probably. I don't remember that one.
He worked with Granato the majority of the time, didn't he? He would never go at John.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he said it was a caller. So I guess versus a caller. Lamont says Andre Ware and Lopez got into a heated on-air fight because Lopez was on air with Nick Wright. Lopez was clowning on U of H being third ward high, and Andre Ware called in and let him have it. I remember that. I remember that one very well.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, it was back whenever. That was whenever he was – well, I mean, he's always been at 610, right? No, he was at 790 for a while, Lopez. Yeah, but Lopez was he was putting U of H down in the location, and no one goes to games there because it's in the third ward, and Andre Ware called him up and set him straight.
Okay.
Set him straight.
The Heisman can do that.
Yeah, he did. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Keith, you're in the Hive. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. I got one for the Houston sports radio fight. The biggest fight not mentioned was Barry Laminack hosting and working a 5-day sports radio show, 5-day a week sports radio show. That was the biggest fight I've ever seen.
Okay. I think
boom roasted.
I guess.
I guess.
I mean, attempted. Right. Wow.
Let's leave the jokes to the comedians.
And normally that's not Keith Mant. I mean, that's not his bit.
Keith was taking a shot. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. All right, let's go back out to the HR&B listener line. Alex, you're in the Hive.
Hey, guys. Sports. I'm not really sure if it was like an on-air fight, but the Wheelhouse versus John and Lance. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, that one at the end got, I think we all, it was supposed to all be, you know, the Wheelhouse, I think, had to be careful what they asked for, because when you ruffle the feathers of the Godfather, at a certain point, John had enough, and he you could say he was kidding, but John was drilling away.
Yeah, he went at him. He went at him good. You don't mess with Granato.
No, I think there was a couple days that some of us from different shows were walking down the hall going, you know, if you listen to everything John said, those weren't all just friendly barbs.
No. No, that one got a little personal, I felt like.
I think more than a little, yep.
Yeah, that was not the best decision. Texter Joseph says, I missed the Wheelhouse. I mean, you're 2 weeks late on your text there, Joseph G. You should have sent that on the first. Jerome thought wipes wasn't masculine because AJ was very vocal about using wipes over toilet paper. I guess Jerome and AJ got into a heated argument about these wipes.
Jerome Solomon?
I guess.
It must have been Jerome Solomon because he was on frequently with the Blitz. I don't remember that.
I do remember that take that AJ had
for sure.
He thought that the wipes were better than the toilet paper, which I agree with. Like, how do you watch a baby? How do you clean up a baby poop or a diaper? You know, use wipes.
Yeah. I don't know if they're good for the toilet.
No, well, yeah, you're not supposed to flush them, but I can't imagine overall though getting in a heated argument about using wipes or not using wipes. I think that says more about the people involved than it does anything else.
Okay, so. Here's another one for you guys. We had a frequent station listener, like a Gilbert type, an ex-military guy, and he went by the name of White Magic because he told everybody that playing pickup ball, everybody thought he was a White Magic Johnson. And he used to call up the Blitz to support our show and take shots and bust Fred and AJ. And he went pretty hard. And one day AJ went at him. And then it became on air. He'd call in and they'd get back and forth. And it turned out to at Nick's place for the Christmas show one year that it was basically set up that they were going to meet in the parking lot and in front of all the people that were there for the party, they were going to duke this thing out.
I remember that.
And White Magic.
AJ was going to fight a listener?
Oh, it was good. Oh, yeah. Flat out. And it got to the point where White Magic, from his military background, was like, I'm having PTSD right now. Like, I'm going through some things. And he called me the night before. I said, you don't have to do this, man. This is AJ setting this up. And he wants you to do it, but you guys haven't even seen each other before. And then at the last minute, White Magic didn't show up. And people were very disappointed.
Yeah, I remember that. That would have been something.
Whew, boy, would it. And I don't think it would have been. Even if AJ won the fight, it would have been a bigger battle.
Probably, yeah. OU Mike and Dell, says a texter. Dante Hall and Lopez. Lance versus Branham was pretty decent. That was one-sided. That wasn't decent. That was no good. What else? Creighton versus Braddock was very entertaining to me. Fred and AJ would lock it up at the next day, if not right after, tell each other they loved each other. That's true.
Yep.
Josh convinced Mike Meltzer that he could get him Stephen Hawking on his show, and it was really just Josh using a computer voice. Meltzer was ticked when he found out it was Josh.
Oh,
I don't remember
man.
That. That's pretty funny.
I hope that's
Meltzer
true.
Getting very heated over that.
I hope that's true.
They I don't think Meltzer said that was fair.
Probably. They gave him too much on the bullpen to fight. Is that true?
I'm sorry, what do we do in the bullpen?
Giggle.
Oh, it's not completely unfair.
Mike and Mike had the greatest fights. I didn't listen to a ton of Mike and Mike.
Got into it from time to time.
Yeah,
they weren't
fans of each other.
Yeah, well, that was more about Greenberg taking the show away and
Golic
got left
behind
out. But
back
as far as the fights on the air, I never took them as all that heated. Like, they disagreed with each other, but it never came off as personal to me.
I can't see Greenberg fighting anybody.
No.
Well, no, not physically, no.
Jong and Pepper Spray, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah, Jong lost that one.
Lance versus everybody trolling his dry brisket. Texter Bell, the late hits fight with Creighton and Braddock was the best. What time did this fight start? I'd love to hear that. I don't remember. It was probably 3:45.
It was the last segment of hour one, just before the top of the hour. So like 3:57-ish.
Was it that late into the segment?
Yeah, yeah. Because I had to get in you guys' ears. Like, we got to go to break. We got to hit the legal ID. So that's the reason I remembered.
That's right.
It was leading up to the top of the hour.
Best on air fight I've heard was Fred and AJ getting into it. And Fred said, okay, fine. What do you want to talk about? Dead air. AJ started yelling. We've talked about that before.
I don't know if I remember that one. But, I mean, for them, it was, like, pretty much every day.
Who's gotten into it with Booker T? You mean Jobber T. John Lee versus Mace, Lance versus Brisket, B-Mac versus having good food takes. That's a good point.
Bad point.
Ryan said, making an airplane noise with a fork full of pre-chopped wedge salad.
Yeah, I would not back down from that take.
One of your worst. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Rockets in the playoffs for the first time since 2020. Has you feeling what? 713-780-3776. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.